Good morning on this Sunday morning. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program there right after this broadcast on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs, MP3 files. You will also find our Bible videos from our television programs under the special tab, study at the top of the page. And if you hit that, you'll come down to a thing that says Bible videos. And they're all listed there in alphabetical order. We also have other things on that website that will be of interest to you and a benefit in studying God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. We also want to invite you to our times of Bible study and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we'll give you those times at the end of this broadcast. We want you to know that you will always be warmly received. All we desire from you is to have you come with an open mind, an open Bible, let us show you a need for God in your life, and a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in your spiritual walk with God, that is what we are here, and we want to do that if we can be of any assistance. We are looking at and studying the book of 1 Peter together, and we are down to 1 Peter chapter 2, and for the last couple of weeks, we have been examining verse 11 and 12, and today we'll conclude the study of these passages, but let us go back at the beginning of our study this morning and reread our passages. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust at war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, we are looking at the subject of stranger and pilgrims, and last week we concluded in talking about the war against the soul, and we looked at our adversary Satan. Today we want to begin in understanding the battle. Our battle or wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual rulers and leaders of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. Let me read you exactly what we are told in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so this battle is not imaginary. This is a real battle that goes on that's trying to gain supremacy of our spiritual life. We are soldiers of Christ, and as you continue reading the text I just mentioned in Ephesians 6, if you'll continue reading down to verse 17, it will give you the armor that we are to put on in order to help us to defeat our enemy, Satan. Soldiers of Christ must carefully plan their battle strategy so that we do not become entangled in the things of this world, and that we are prepared to fight the good fight of faith. Why? According to 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, so we can lay hold on eternal life. You're going to have to do the battle. We're a soldier in the army of God, and we're going to have to fight our adversary, the devil, in order to defeat him so we can win the prize. And we are to flee lust that will seek to destroy our relationship with God and destroy our souls eternally. If Joseph literally fled from the house of Potiphar's wife to avoid committing fornication with Potiphar's wife, we too must flee youthful lust as we are called upon to do in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. So let me reiterate, the war against the soul is ongoing. You are engaged. You must fight it, and you must not fight it by the devil's plan and by the devil's strategy and in the devil's backyard. You must rise to higher ground, and you must fight using the weapons that God has provided and by using the inner man, the spirit, to defeat the flesh. Now, seemingly behavior. The seemly behavior, as the American Standard Version translates it, describes literally the conduct of disciples who hold on to what is good. The Gentiles, those who speak against Christians, calling them evildoers, cannot help but to see their good works. And when they see their good works, they can glorify God. Glorifying God by our actions and by our conduct is why he put us here. The good works which they have behold may be the avenue for which will bring them to their knees in reverence and honor and humility and cause them to repent of their sin and to turn to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. The purpose of life, the purpose of our life as Christians is not to, is to seek joy, peace, and happiness for ourselves, no, but to glorify God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. Peace, joy, and happiness will, of course, result, but the goal is to honor and to praise God. And so let me go back for just a moment and let me reiterate one more time that we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a war, and this war is for the most prized possession that we have, and it's the soul. And what the devil is trying and seeking to do is to get us so enamored with this life that we don't have time or we don't make the effort to build up our spiritual life, to strengthen our resolve, our commitment and dedication to God, and to do things according to his will, by his instructions, according to his patterns, and that we begin to think, talk, act, and do the things that the world does, and we become so in love with the things we have in this world that we lose sight of our spiritual eternal abode that is in heaven, and we're going to exchange a temporary dwelling for a eternal dwelling, and we make a sad bargain if we do so. Make no mistake about this, ladies and gentlemen. We are in for a battle that is very, very grave. It is over the most prized possession you possess, and that is your soul. The devil is relentless. He will never give up. He will never give you an inch. He will never seek for a way to destroy you. He is very subtle. He is very crafty. He is very deceptive. He's going to do everything in his power to destroy you in order that you could spend eternity with him and his angels in hell. And please, do not underestimate him. Do not underestimate his tactics. Do not underestimate his adversaries who seek to help him in order to destroy us. But he cannot destroy us if we remain faithful and we continually strive to follow God's instructions instead of the world's. And that's why we are emphasizing in this lesson that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We only here temporarily. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My hope and future is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We need to understand that this world and all of its trappings is not where we're going to live forever. Despite the premillennial misunderstanding and its misteaching, we are not going to live on this world for 1,000 years, nor are we going to live on it forever. We are going to spend eternity, that means forever and ever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. And that is where we're going to spend the majority of our lives, not upon the earth, but upon the eternal abode. And so we need to be preparing ourselves and keeping our faith, our focus, and our work on that spiritual abode. As we've discussed in this lesson, we're citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, verse 12. We've shown that we can't conform to this world in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we are to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, but we are to love God, to love his word, to love the brethren, and to seek to please him in everything that we do. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fight, and this fight is over where one will spend eternity. The environment, we live in a hostile world of sin and of spiritual darkness in which the prince of this world wages an eternal struggle for our soul. The challenge that we face is we must take up the challenge of worldly lusts that thrust against us daily and reject the control they seek to gain over us and our soul and our ability to live in this life. And our goal as citizens of heaven must be to glorify God first and foremost by holding on to what is good and displaying a life of godliness that will attract the souls of evil men to bow in reverence before God and His will. Let me put it this way, the way that our Lord put it in the Great Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. The salt loses its flavor. How shall then it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, so it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. Matthew 5:13-16. Ladies and gentlemen, we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not your home. It is a temporary dwelling place for the flesh. And we live here in this tabernacle of flesh and blood. And we must strive, we must focus, and we must make sure that our aim and the purpose of our life is to get out of this world spiritually alive in order that we can be in heaven for all eternity with the saved and with our Lord and Savior forever and ever and ever. But make no mistake about this. The devil does not want to see you achieve that goal. He wants to destroy you in this life and in the life to come. And he's going to seek to do that by hook, crook, or by any means by which we let him gain an advantage over us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says that we should not be ignorant of his devices lest he gain an advantage over us. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you are in the fight of your life. You are in the fight that will determine where you will spend eternity. Will it be with God and the saved of all ages in the beautiful place that we refer to as heaven in the Bible? Or are you going to spend eternity with the devil and his angels and all the ungodly of all time in the lake of fire, the second death that burns with fire and brimstone, which is hell? We're going to live one place or the other. We're going to be in eternity one place or the other. And it all depends on where we kept our focus while we lived on this earth. Where's your focus today, ladies and gentlemen? Are you living by the world standard? Are you acting, talking, dressing, acting? And are you so enamored with the world, you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to study your Bible, you don't have time to meet with the saints, and you don't have time to give attention to spiritual things? If you do, then you're playing right into the devil's hand, and you are with him, and you will be with him for all eternity. We suggest a better life, a better way, and a better outcome by being strangers and pilgrims in this world and keeping our faith, focus, and attention on heaven and its glory and its beauty and allowing God to help us get there by living by His standard and not by God's. Excuse me.